Welcome, everybody, to the Football Focus Podcast, brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2 in Cranston. I am Kevin Pomeroy, joined, as always, by William Gagan. We are back for another week to break down some high school football action. It's the fifth week of football action, which is a little crazy. It's October outside. It's getting colder. Leaves are changing. A lot of rain out there.
Yeah, and, miserable rain last week.
The games are not not all that nice like they were in the early season going. No. But we still got a little while to go, but playoff races are heating up now at this point in the season. We have six games to talk about, and let's get right into it. First, we have Charahoe at Warwick Vets to lead us off with our podcast game of the week. Both teams at 2-2, and a huge, huge game with playoff ramifications in Division 2A.
We talked last week about Division 2, how we had it all figured out. We knew exactly what was going to happen, who was where, who had to beat who. And then the whole thing got blown up last week.
Yeah, we did not predict that.
It was just when Socket beat Westerly. Westerly was the highest ranked team in D2. Yeah, Shea beating West Warwick. And what else happened? Mount Hope beat Charahoe.
Mount Hope beat Charahoe. Cumberland beat St. Ray's 28-0.
Yeah. It just, things went crazy in D2. So now we don't know what's going on. But we can tell you that this is a big game for both of these teams because they're both sitting at 1-2 in league play at this point, and they both need a win to at least have, give themselves a chance, I think.
Yeah, the best way to simplify what's going on is Johnston's 3-0. They're probably a little bit above everybody else. You've got to assume they're getting into the playoffs one way or another. Tollgate's 0-3, barring a miracle, they're probably going to be on the outside looking in. 8-team division, 4 teams make it, Johnston's in, so now you have 6 other teams vying for those final 3 spots. 3 of those teams are 2-1. 3 of those teams are 1-2. Vets and Charahoe are both 1-2. So it's not an elimination game per se, because I guess somebody could run the table if they lost this game. But you'd like your odds a lot better at 2-2 than you do at 1-3, considering how tightly packed everything is right now in that division.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a must win. It's not lose and you're out, but it's a game that you definitely have to have. Vets is coming off 2 losses in a row, really not where they wanted to be at this point. They beat Tollgate to start the league play. Then lost to Woonsocket. We thought they would bounce back last week against Coventry, and they instead lost 40-8. Just kind of got run over a little bit by Coventry's strong running attack, and they're still missing their linebackers, which really hurts them. You were over at Vets the other day, and they seem to be focused again on this is a big game. How do they take that and turn it into a win again?
Yeah, they were optimistic. I mean, amazingly, they've lost by a combined 55 points or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's been 60 points the last couple of weeks. But I think they're very, very good at kind of putting the past behind them. They have pretty good senior leadership over there. The captains, TJ Boyajian and Tony Lonchek, I think, kind of focus everybody in. And so I think they were ready for this game, this Charahoe game. They have it circled a little bit. They realize the importance of it. And they know they can't go out and play like they did against Woonsocket and can't play like they did against Coventry. They need to step it up. And one thing they do have going for them is they feel like they're getting a little bit healthier. There's some guys back at practice. They're not quite sure if they're 100% yet. They're not quite sure if they're going to be able to go yet. Dennis Scalzo and David McDonald stand out. Those are the linebackers you were talking about. They also play fullback. Those are big, big parts of the team. They're trying to go. If they can, that gives them a huge boost. But even if they can, I think Vets knows the importance of this game. I mean, we just laid it out there, and they're playing. They know those records just like we do. So they know they need to win this one. Mm-hmm. And I think they're ready. I'd be very surprised. I don't know that they're necessarily going to win. I don't know that they're not. But I don't think they're going to lose by 30 or something like that for the last 2 weeks. I really don't.
Yeah. And I think the biggest key for Vets will be finding a way to stop the run, because when Socket has talented running backs and they found the holes and just took off against Vets. And then Coventry, from what we were hearing, just pounded the ball. I believe they threw 2 passes the whole game and rushed for almost 500 yards. So that's been a major problem for Vets. And unfortunately for them, they face a team that likes to pound it, another team that likes to pound it in Charahoe, and they're big and they've got some strong running backs.
Yeah, they have Jesse Parento, too, a tackle who, according to their roster, and I read a couple other things online about him, weighs upwards of 350 pounds.
Big boy.
So I imagine he paves the way a significant amount of the time. They'll probably run right at him. Their main guy is Austin McQuaid. He's their feature back. He's a guy that Brian Knapp, a Vets coach, told me about the other day, told me they're focusing on. They're kind of circling him. And it's not hard to know why. I mean, his numbers are very, very good. Ran for 130 yards last week, even when Charahoe lost to Mount Hope. So McQuaid is very good. Another kid, Stallion Collins, who's got one of the better names in the state.
Member of the all-name team.
And also is a very good running back as well. So Vetzel key on those guys. Charo is a pretty athletic quarterback too, who can run the ball a little bit. But the key and the thing that joins all those guys is they like to run the ball. And Vets has been susceptible to that. So there's kind of your matchup. That's probably what's going to decide who's going to win this game. If Vets can stop the run, they get a chance. If they can't, maybe you're looking at another loss.
Yeah, because I think for Vets, that really is the key, because their offense can do what it can do, I think. It's just kind of, it's going to deliver some points if the defense can slow the other team down and give the offense a chance to get going.
Yeah, and they want to run the ball, too. Yeah. It's hard to run the ball when you're down by 20 points right off the bat. So they got to stop the run to be able to establish their own run, I think.
Yeah. So we do think Vets is going to come out and have a better game. We're just giving the edge to Charo at this point, the defending D2 champs coming off a bad loss last week. I think they're going to be really eager to kind of keep themselves in the race. So we're taking Charo in this one 28-22. Let's talk about a Division I matchup between two of our teams. We've got Hendricken traveling to Cranston Stadium on Friday at 7 o'clock to take on Cranston West. And Hendricken coming off another victory. They took care of business last week against Tolman.
When they wanted to establish themselves a little bit. Mm-hmm. They'd beaten a couple teams, South Kingstown and East Providence before that, who are good but aren't as good as some of the other teams. Tolman, on the other hand, people think is going to be good. Yeah. And they came out, and it was a rainy day. It was tough conditions to the point where it was hard to see. I mean, I was taking pictures that day out of the game, and they didn't come out very well because you couldn't see through the rain. But Hendricken was prepared. We've talked about how well-coached we feel like they are, and they were prepared for the rain. They'd even done some stuff during practice the day before where they squirted the ball and got it wet and that sort of thing. So they were ready to go in the rain, and it showed. They were up 21-0 one play into the second quarter because their defense stepped up. They didn't turn the ball over, whereas Tolman was a little confused by the weather. Once things settled down in the second half, it was a little more of an even-keeled game. But still, no matter how they did it, Hendricken got a fairly big win, 28-7, mm-hmm. fairly comfortable win against a good opponent. So they're 4-0, they're 3-0 in Division I, feeling good, have to be feeling good, and they're going against Cranston West, who is 0-3, but you were there against LaSalle last week, had one of their better performances of the year.
Yeah, that was it was the same night, terrible rain, just downpouring pretty much the whole time, and West was having a good time. They didn't mind at all. They went up 10-0. It was a game where they just kind of had good field position. There was a punt that went wrong for LaSalle. West got a field goal, onside kick. They marched for a touchdown. All of a sudden, there's like 5 minutes left in the first half, and LaSalle's barely had a chance. West couldn't kind of keep control of it. They still played well in the second half, but ultimately LaSalle kind of got it going. I think it's one of those games that West can build off of a little bit. They have to take some confidence in knowing that they stopped the best offense in the state. But at the same time, it still reveals the issues they have and that their offense is struggling and that they just haven't quite put it all together yet. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out this week with a chance at another upset, really.
Yeah, and falling to 0-3, no matter how close you mm-hmm. were, it still stings. Yeah. I think if it was the first game of the season, maybe they say, wow, we played really well with LaSalle. It was supposed to be great. Maybe we can do this going forward. And they've already lost three times now. Yes, they were close against LaSalle, but is that enough in the middle of the season to all of a sudden flip a switch and say, we can play with these teams and run off four or five in a row? I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how they respond to it. But at the very least, we know they have it in them if they mm-hmm. play the way they can to contend with some of these top teams. Now, maybe LaSalle didn't have their best day. Maybe the weather got to them a little bit.
Yeah, very true. Yep.
But, who's to say that Hendricken's going to go out and have their best day? Yeah. That doesn't happen every time. So West probably needs a perfect storm to come out with a win in this one. But, again, like we saw last week, it's possible. It's out there.
Yeah.
You just got to get it done. Yeah.
And I was very impressed with West's defense against LaSalle. They shut down Josh Morris, and I don't think that was all about the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had a plan. They got penetration. They tackled him for loss a number of times. Anthony St. Laurent, you have to block him with two guys at this point. I think he might be the best individual defensive player in the state. And their linebackers are playing well. So they have the defense. The problem is the offense is just not. And they have Joe Ciraldi, who's a really solid running back. Their offensive line is pretty good, but they just can't string things together because they're just so inexperienced at key positions. And I think that's ultimately what's going to keep them from getting an upset this week, because I think the Hendricken defense is really good, I don't see Wes scoring a lot on them.
Yeah, it's kind of been the story this year with Wes. I mean, against Portsmouth, they lost 33-7 and had the ball in the red zone three times and came away empty.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't kind of put it all together. They get part of it right, you know, and until they put it all together, I think they're going to lose to teams that are higher ranked than them, that are a little bit better in the standings, that are a little more complete right now in the season than they are. So I guess that's why at this point we're taking Henry.
We're taking the Hawks 24-7 in this one. And let's move on to a D2 game, Coventry and Johnston. That one's Friday in Coventry, 7 o'clock. Johnston has been as impressive as any team in the state at this point. And I think we said the exact same thing last week, and then they beat Tollgate 48-0. So it's just more of the same for them right now.
Yeah, we run out of things to talk about with Johnston. Yeah. I wish they would play a close game so we could discuss maybe some flaws or some things they need to work on. But when they're putting up 50 points and shutting out opponents, what are you supposed to do? I mean, anything we say negative about them right now feels a little nitpicky. 48-0, like we just said, they're 4-0. They're the highest-ranked Division II team. They're ranked fifth overall in the poll. They're doing it all. They have tons of playmakers. I was over there at practice the other day. And here's something we could talk about with them, I guess. They don't seem like a team that's comfortable winning 48-0, winning 40-0, whatever the scores have been. They know they're dominating. You know, they know those games are over by halftime, but I don't think they're content. I don't think they think if they keep playing the way they're playing that they're just going to roll over teams the rest of the way and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think they know they need to get better. And I was only at practice for about 20 minutes, but just watching the guys run, watching the coaches interact with them, it gave this very distinct feel that they still know they need to get a lot better and they're not content. So there's that. And they have maybe their toughest test of the year or so far in Coventry this week.
Yeah, and it's kind of the beginning of like a couple of tough tests for them. They've had a little bit of an easier schedule so far. They haven't played Westerly yet. They haven't played Chero yet. And in Coventry they get this week. So some of the tougher teams in 2A are coming up for them. The thing that strikes me about Johnston is just their big play ability. Like, you look at the stats, and they'll have guys rushing for 150 yards on three carries.
Yeah.
It's just, that happens every week. And I think it's amazing that how explosive they've been. I think they'll have a chance to do that again. But Coventry started out, what did they start out, 0-1 in league play?
They did.
Yeah, and now have kind of come on a little bit with wins over Vets and Tollgate. So they've you know, won those games handily. So they've played well, and they have a strong running game like we've talked about with Stryker Blue. And they're kind of making a run, so they'll be looking to make a splash this week like some teams made last week against top teams.
Yeah, we talked about upsets. I mean, who knows? Maybe Johnston is a little bit vulnerable with all the upsets that are happening. So far, they've been untouched. But the thing with Coventry is we know how one-dimensional they want to be just based on what they've done this year. Mm-hmm. They threw only twice when they played Vets. That type of strategy isn't going to pay off against Johnston. If they want to just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, Johnston's going to be able to adjust that and stop it. So if Coventry does want to contend in this game, I don't think they can throw the ball twice and expect to put points on the board. They need to have a little more balance, need to surprise Johnston, need to do a few different things other than hand the ball to Stryker Blue and try and move the chains.
Yeah.
So whether they can do that or not, we'll see. But on paper, even as good as Coventry's been the last couple of weeks, nobody's been as good as Johnston. So it's a little lopsided.
Yep, we're taking Johnston 35-15. Back now to Division One. We've got Cranston East visiting East Providence at Pierce Field on Friday night, 7 o'clock. East is coming off another victory. This one was a non-leaguer. They had a week off from league play, 40-0 over Central Falls in three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So East, I mean, it's just kind of the same thing. You know, no different from the last couple weeks. I think the one thing is they'll be itching to kind of prove themselves. And East Providence may not be the best chance to do that. They're 0-4 and they've struggled a lot. But it's another chance for East just to take care of business and prove that they're still, you know, ready and waiting to kind of take that next step.
Yeah, it's almost like the BCS in college football, where they want to make a statement in winning big, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they should win this game. I think everyone would be shocked around the state if they somehow lost this game to East Providence. But I also think people will not view them as one of the top three teams, potentially, if they only win, say, 28-21 or something. I think they want to go out there and win big. They want to go out there and do what everyone else has been doing to East Providence. You know, show that they're kind of a top-tier team playing a bottom-tier team and, you know, establish themselves in that top group. And I think they coming off that Central Falls game, which they only got to play three quarters, their starters didn't play a full game, you know, wasn't Division I competition, I think they're going to be ready to go.
Their East is a team that's still really just kind of scratching the surface of what they can do in a lot of their games. In the Tolgate game early in the year, and they were scoring in one or two plays. It was the same thing against Central Falls. They were just scoring super, super quick. And so that it really makes it a situation where they're eager to get out there and play a game where they can just show what they can do. And I think this is another opportunity to do that. And we know what they can do at this point with the talent they have.
Yeah, offensively, they're going to score. I mean, they're going to score in East Providence. Just about everybody has. Defensively, it'll be interesting to see what happens. They're going against the option, like we talk about every week when somebody plays East Providence. They like to run that option. You know, it's an adjustment for teams, especially when they haven't seen it, which East has not. But part of guarding against East Providence is also learning to play the pass a little bit because, I mean, they've been throwing the ball a lot. Maybe it's partly because they've been down 21 points, 28 points in some of those games, but I think they're getting a little more comfortable in their passing game. They want to throw the ball. They have a real good running back in Darian Johnson, who's a good receiver out of the backfield too. He's usually the option back, the pitch option back. So there are some weapons. There's a different dynamic there. They're going to be a little balanced. So East can't just stack the line and say, we're going to guard option, because then they're going to try and go deep on you. So, you know, if they can weather the storm in the early going, you know, kind of take the option out of it, you know, get a few big stops, everything will probably be fine. But there is something to watch there, at least defensively.
Yeah. And back to East offense for 1 second. I wrote an article this week about Marvin Bove, and I would just like to throw a stat out. Marvin has 8 catches this year, 5 for touchdowns. So when we talk about weapons, that's what we mean with Cranston East. And I think they will take care of business this week, 38-13. All right, let's talk about Pilgrim. The Pats are visiting West Warwick on Saturday afternoon. Pilgrim's now 0-4 overall, lost to Central last week. It was a rainy game, just a kind of a miserable game for them. And unfortunately for them, the schedule does not get easier because they're playing a West Warwick team that was in the top 10 before, dropped out of the top 10 because they got crushed by Shea. And you know they're going to be really angry about that.
Yeah, they're going to be mad. They're going to be mad. And Pilgrim should be mad too. I mean, they lost by 41 points on their home field, but... Yeah, West Warwick is one of the better Division II teams in the state, we think. They have been, last week notwithstanding. I think some of the results last week in general are tough to take at face value because of the rain. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was so much rain last week that, you know, things might have gotten a little shaken up there. I know Pilgrims, you know, obviously they haven't been very good this year. They haven't won a game yet, but losing 47-6, I don't think is indicative of everything. I mean, they fumbled the snap so many times just because they couldn't handle it because of the rain. And obviously that's not, you know, a good thing, and that probably speaks to their youth a little bit and experience, but on a dry day, that's not going to happen. Maybe they lose one fumbled snap, they're not going to lose five of them.
Right.
So, you know, there's not as much to take away negatively as the score would indicate from that game. But man, yeah, West Warwick, you know, was one of the few undefeated teams in the division. Mm-hmm. They get a big, big, big loss. They know Pilgrim's record. They know Pilgrim's a team they're supposed to beat. I imagine they want to do it to Pilgrim, which Shea did to them last week.
Yeah, I think that's true. We know West Warwick has got some solid wins this year already. Good quarterback in Ryan O'Kelly. And they like to mix it up a little bit. They can throw the ball around. And I think, like you said, that loss is not necessarily indicative of where they are. I think, you know, teams have bad games, and I think that was probably a bad game for them. And I do think they'll bounce back. For Pilgrim, still kind of looking for positives at this point. I think they have their feet under them a little more, and hopefully it won't be raining. And that could be a big thing for them.
It
really could. If you practice to get better at the little things, and all of a sudden you can't do the little things. So hopefully for them they'll have a chance to plan a nice Saturday afternoon. But you know, still at this point, I think it's just tough to pick Pilgrim right now. So we will take West Warwick 38-12. And our final game to talk about, we have Tolgate going on the road for a long trip down to Westerly, Friday at 7 o'clock. Very similar to the Pilgrim situation, they are facing a very good team who is going to be angry after last week.
Yeah, Westerly was the top-ranked Division II team before last week. They were ranked 5th overall. Then they went and played Woonsocket and lost by a point. They lost 19-18, came up just short at the end. They fall into a very, very similar boat as West Warwick. They're a team that thinks they can contend for a Super Bowl, that probably will make the playoffs, that suffered a tough loss, maybe a little bit of an unexpected loss last week, And now they have a team that is winless on the schedule right in front of them, and you're going to think they're chomping at the bit to get back on the field and inflict a little bit of punishment.
Yep, and Westerly has been good. Some impressive wins before the loss to Woonsocket, and I was surprised at that Woonsocket game, but Woonsocket is good. I think their Johnston game was a bad game for Woonsocket, and I don't think that's necessarily indicative of what they can do.
Everyone has a bad game against Johnston.
Yeah, that is a good point, too. Westerly, I think, is a really good team. I think one of the top contenders for the D2 Super Bowl, led by their quarterback, Phil Lynch, and they can run the ball. They're really strong there. So it's another tough matchup for Tolga. I mean, this is a 1-2 punch with Johnston and Westerly, probably the two best teams in Division 2A, maybe in all of Division 2. Tolga will just be looking to try to get some things going. The running game just hasn't been what they want it to be, I think, and the same is true of the passing game. It's just nothing has worked for them yet. I think by all accounts they're going to keep working, but it's just a matter of trying to find a way to get something going at this point.
It's hard to get better when you play the two best teams in your division back-to-back, first of all. Johnston and Westerly, like you said, they're both great, and so it's hard to really improve on the little things when you're trying to run a handoff and there's three guys in the backfield or something. I mean, you know, you can't really develop like that. But I think at this point, obviously they want wins. Every team wants to go out there and win, but I think Tolgate would be happy to just gain a little consistency, put a couple touchdowns up, get some big plays out of the defense, just start to see some progress to put one foot in front of the other a little bit. Because, you know, 48-0 to Johnston last week, even though they're playing a team they should lose to, they still probably don't take a ton of positives out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's 30-14, you say that's not good that we lost, but, you know, we got a couple good runs here, we did this and that. Right now, they don't even have those things going. So if they want to contend in some of the games down the road as the season goes on, which won't be easy because they have a tough schedule, I think it probably starts here. It starts with not getting shut out and losing big again like they did last week, because that takes a toll on a team's morale when you're losing by 40 points every week.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to take Westerly in this one 30-6. And one game around the state we want to talk about, that is Portsmouth taking on Tolman in a very interesting Division I matchup. Poor Tolman, man.
Right.
They get bumped up to Division I and they have to play... Who'd they start out with? Cranston East.
Yep.
Then they play LaSalle. Then they play Henrichen. Now they play Portsmouth. The consensus top four teams in the division. And they play them right out of the gate.
Yeah, Tolman's 0-3. And most people, I mean, would say they're either the fifth or sixth best team in the division.
Yeah.
They're ranked ninth right now in the poll at 0-3, which shows the respect people have. I mean, you lose a game, you drop in this poll. They've lost three, and they're still sitting there in the top 10. And now they've got Portsmouth, you know, maybe the fourth best team. This game, if everything plays out, if everything plays out the way we think it's going to, which
may not
necessarily happen, yeah. But the way things are going right now, you know, you have your top four, like we just said, LaSalle, Henrichen, East Portsmouth. And Tolman's already lost to three of them. If you don't beat one of those four teams, you're not going to get into the playoffs. It's not possible. Right. I mean, you can't do it. So this game, amazingly, at 0-3 Tolman and 2-1 Portsmouth, could be the game that decides the final playoff spot.
Yeah.
You know, the winner of this game, if Tolman wins and then runs the table against West, South Kingstown, East Providence, and Barrington, then they would have five wins and they'd be 5-3. I mean, they'll probably be favored in the rest of their games. Maybe Barrington will be sort of a toss-up, but they'll probably be favored in the rest of their games besides this Portsmouth game. So an 0-3 team that is in its first year in Division I, is playing probably its biggest game of the season with playoff ramifications. There are a lot of 0-3 teams right now that are saying, let's win this game and we might be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So it's a really, very really true. Interesting game. And I'm on the Tolman bandwagon, man.
you love the Tigers.
I do. I think they're going to win. I thought they had a chance to beat Henrichen last week.
Yep.
They didn't. I think the rain had a lot to do with that. And I still think Henrichen probably would have beat them without the rain. But I think Tolman's that good. I think they can hang with some of the better teams.
Yeah. And if they were to end up 5-3... And Portsmouth still has some tough games left. They could end up 5-3, and then Tolman has the tiebreaker. So, that's it.
Portsmouth's very good, too. I mean, let's not just talk about Tolman. Like, Portsmouth has a lot of playmakers as well. And that's why they're, you know, the fourth best team right now in the state, and a lot of people think we'll make the playoffs. So, huge game in Division I, even if the records don't necessarily indicate it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, thank you for joining us on another edition of the Football Focus Podcast, brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. We'll be back here next week to talk about another full slate of games. Between now and then, enjoy the football.
Mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station.